Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back for the final hour of Sports Talk on this Friday. Hope you've had a good Friday. Hope you got a big weekend planned. Jeff and I are kind of mapping out a little bit of training camp in Irvine, where we spent a lot of time last year. Kind of, I feel like I know Newport Beach and Irvine, California way better than I should. But
That's because you biked everywhere.
I did. I loved it. I loved my bike out in California.
Bike hoss.
Bikes are a different animal in California. You own the road. Cars move out of the way, stop, apologize to you. It's the craziest
thing. And there's bike lanes like everywhere you go?
I mean, bike lanes in between two fast-moving car lanes. So the bike lanes aren't to the far right. They're like in the 75% range. And the lane to the right of you is a lane. Mm-hmm. And there's a lane to the left of you. And you got to have some, you know, stone gumption. I'm like, what am I doing?
Fun fact for the listener. We went out to California. Mike bought a bike, rode it everywhere, and then left it there.
I donated it.
I donated it. But I'm going to head back to the hotel and see if it's still
locked. It's probably still there. I had to come pick it up.
Yeah. Those like, a little huffy.
I spent $100. We were there 30 days. It was the
worth it.
Greatest purchase in the history of man. And they
some
brought
like 12-year-olds riding that bike around right
now. It actually was not the bike for my size.
They don't even know it's like that's a famous bike. They're just riding it around.
But we're getting there. I tell you, and we're going to talk Saints this hour a little bit, but the Pelicans as well. And both had rough years last year. So if anything, first and foremost, what I wanted was change, right? Change. And both teams, both franchises, I don't care who you are or how much you think you know, don't nobody know nothing about either franchise. I don't care. I do not care what everybody thinks. Well, you don't know. We'll find out, but you don't know.
Sure. I'm excited about the young players the Pelicans brought in. I am excited about the young players the Pelicans brought in. I don't like the trade and how it was set up to get Derek Queen, but I do really like Derek Queen. It's a weird thing where I'm mad about it, but happy about it at the same time.
Right, because the trade got, you know.
If they had put like a top one protection on that trade, where if that pick lands number one overall, you got the pick. If it landed everywhere else, you gave it away. Like, I would feel completely differently about it. It's like, did they even try? That's my question. But like, Derek Queen, he's going to get the Marcus Davenport treatment a little bit because they gave up a lot to get him. I think it's worth it. He reminds me, I've said this before, he reminds me of a pre-injury Boogie a little bit. Like, he's got that part to his game. I think he needs to bulk up. He had 7 turnovers yesterday. Summer League is what it is. 13 points, 10 rebounds. I just think he's going to fit what you need in this new NBA or this modern-day NBA in a way that the Pelicans haven't had in a while.
No, I was talking about both franchises.
Yeah.
I mean, you just there's so much change, right? It's just, you know, we don't know a lot about Staley's defense and what's it going to look like when you start putting the players that he wants in there and you start hitting a little bit. And for the second year in a row, and I truly, like, I've covered a lot of training camps, and I don't know that I've ever talked less about a number one pick than
Calvin Banks.
Or Fuaga last year.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right? I mean, it was like, oh, yeah, he's the left tackle. All right, move on. Like, it was just kind of this thing. I think it's going to be the same thing this year.
That's what happens when you draft a tackle that delivers from day one, because the goal of your tackles, like, if you are in a perfect place with your tackles, you're not talking about them. Right. They're there. You are never saying, where'd that guy come from? Because he didn't get around him.
We talked about Trevor a lot.
Because he wasn't delivering. That's my point. So if they're delivering, you're not going to talk about him. You're just going to say, what a great pick, and move on. Like, Andres Pete, not so much. But you got him into that guard. He was a Pro Bowl guard. And you live with that. Hopefully that's what you can get with Trevor this year. So we're going to be getting Cesar Ruiz on the show early next week. So I'm excited to talk to Cesar a little bit. And because I felt like Cesar, you know, was on a really strong trajectory. And then that injury last year really just derailed a lot for him. And I don't know if you ever saw him get back. But either way, like, in the NFL, your team goes how your offensive line goes. If you have a consistent, effective offensive line, offense is a lot easier. If you don't,
Buccaneers. Buccaneers offensive line missed like two games.
Yep.
For the most part, played them all.
Unless you're the Falcons, who had a top five offensive line and were still terrible.
They seem to find a way. So we're going to hear from some of the Pelicans?
Yeah. I was trying to tee you up for it.
I didn't know. You got to introduce them.
That's all right. Yeah, we got Derek Queen. We heard from Derek Queen after the Pelicans Summer League debut yesterday. So let's hit that.
What was it like getting off your first NBA experience?
It was great. I started out really, really bad. And then, like, my teammates stuck with me. I mean, I guess I call them vets for the summer league, but a few of the older guys was just giving me words of encouragement. The second half, I got it going, and then I kind of picked it up.
Was there any, like, one moment that it clicked? Bruce said he kind of talked to you at halftime, and then early in that third, they kind of sat you down and talked to you a little bit. Is there anything that kind of helped you get going?
Like, no, I mean, no, not really. It was just like, I don't know, like, it was my game. Like, I feel like it's my game to, like, kind of be, like, nonchalant, but, like, at times I should, like, be physical at times, because that's why I feel like I messed up or turned the ball over a lot. Like, I mean, or I looked immature because I wasn't physical enough. But so once I understood it in the second half, I felt like I picked it up.
How much did that first bucket going in kind of help kind of get you going a little bit?
It was a little bit of relief. And then I think I came down, turned the ball over. I was like, and I got spit from my mouthpiece in my eyes. So I was like, so like, and then the next one got me going. So like, we didn't have enough time to really like play against each other a lot. I mean, we did, but like me to adapt to the physicality in the week I was there. But now, like, I feel like I have this game under my belt. I feel like I'm gonna be great next game.
What did you kind of see from Fears in that first game taking over that point guard role?
I think Fears kind of did a good job. It's our first game. None of us going to be perfect, but Fizz know what he got to do better. I know what I got to do better, but I feel like it was a really good debut for him. Talked a little trash. Now, that's one guy I probably got to learn from, even though he's younger than me, because he was bumping a lot of people using his physicality, but I feel like he had a great debut.
Did that surprise you? I don't see him chirping out there a little bit in that first half?
No. I mean, he's from Chicago, so.
You mentioned, the next game, how much you look forward to just taking this experience of this game and trying to improve. I know, turnovers was an issue today, but I'm sure just getting more opportunity to play together well.
Yeah, just really redemption. I got to redeem myself because I know, like, I mean, I got 82 games. I mean, like, Twitter and probably Instagram going crazy right now. So, like, I just got to redeem myself for me and all the outside noise also, and my team.
I mean, you also had a double-double.
It was kind of sloppy, but, a double-double is a double-double, but it was kind of sloppy in the first half, but I think I flipped the switch in the second half. I mean, like, I adapted in the second half, but even Weave told me it's going to take me a week to figure it out. But I feel like I got a little bit of a hang of it now.
You mentioned it sounded like you were trying to be more aggressive in the second half. Did you feel like you were kind of reading things better, too, like reading their defense, finding openings better?
No, like, sometimes I beat my man, and then I try to make an unnecessary move or a weak move, and then he just played good defense and got me to turn the ball over every single time. So, like, it was like, so second half, I kind of understood it. Oh, and actually, what kind of got me going is one of the guys was talking trash, and he was like, he didn't even get in the game. And that's when he was like, you trash, you're not even good at basketball. So I think that got me going.
What's the key to keeping that switch flipped on Saturday?
I mean, I don't know, trying to be the best on the floor at all times probably, but trying to compete. It's really not no switch, but like the way I play is the way I've been playing all my life. And then like I mean, a lot of people say I have to turn it up, like just as spurts. So I think this was one of the games where I had to turn up as spurts to get used to the physicality and the no calls and stuff. But I think I figured it out in the second half.
Mr. Queen.
DQ. Yeah. No, I did appreciate, you know, you can, like, you hear him talk and you're like, okay, this is a young guy, right? And that's why these, you know, these summer league games are so valuable. Like, they might not be the most enjoyable viewer experience in the world, but these are very valuable games for a guy like Derek Queen, for a guy like Jeremiah Fears.
I mean, I don't know that I, you know, again, I live in a tunnel. I'd be the first to admit it. I don't know that I knew he was that young. I knew he was young.
18 years old. I mean, well, he reclassified to come out a year early. So he would have been a senior in high school last year. He was at Oklahoma. He would have been a freshman in college this year, but he is in the NBA. Well, I did appreciate Derek Queen. Just one of the things he said was someone on the bench who was talking trash to him the entire game. That guy didn't even play. And that's what makes basketball or sports so great. It's like you just got somebody over there, just a scrub, being like, I'm gonna get in this guy's head, I'm gonna yell at him.
And he's
just
like, E-League.
You're not even out here. Like, you can't even crack the rotation in the summer league. What are you talking about? But, you know, certain guys can handle that, certain guys can't. So, yeah. You know, I like a little chirpiness. I went on a rant about how I like when the coaches come out and scream at the umpires. Like, yeah, I want the –
Can't argue balls and strikes, fights. Jeff. You can't argue balls and strikes. You know that.
Kevin Schnall knows that now.
That's right. Oof. Take a break. Come back. Talk with Dolph Jackson, host of Keeping It Real, Who Dat Sports Podcast, also the founder of the Come On In Sports Network. We'll talk a little more Saints as we get ready for camp almost here. Back after this on WWLAMFM.com. Always free.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Odyssey app. Welcome back, Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak. We are days away. Today's the 11th first practice for the Saints on July 23rd. That will be open to fans, 9 to 11. Saints football coming up. And there's just, as we talked about the Pelicans, change. Dolph Jackson, host of the Keeping It Real, Who Dat Sports Podcast, joining us to talk a little Saints football as we get ready in these kind of dark, dull days prior to camp. Like, there's really, you got Wimbledon, you got the British Open, or the Open Championship, I should say. But then it's football. And so how you doing, Dolph? Welcome to the show.
Mike, Jim, how you doing? Can I come on in? What's going on, guys?
Are you as excited as we are? Are you football, you know, you can't take it anymore?
Hey, the Chargers report to camp tomorrow. They're rookies, so football season starts tomorrow in my book. That's how excited I am for football.
I'm always like, who's the Hall of Fame game this year? Who is it?
Oof.
It's got to be the Chargers. In the Lions?
I just know. It's like you're so excited, right? It's football. It's the Hall of Fame game. And like 6 minutes in, you're like, I'm out.
It is Chargers and Lions.
I'm out. I'm like, okay, football's back.
We don't have
but
a
I'm
fancy
out.
Kickoff to get excited about this I'm year. Out. That was like the sales pitch for last year's Hall of Fame game. It was like, oh, they're going to line up weird. And everyone watched it one time. And they're like, we're bored now. But, you know, so Dolph, tell me. Okay, so there's a lot of storylines for the Saints. There's Kellen Moore. There's the quarterback competition. There's this, that, and the other thing. What would you say you're most excited about seeing play out, not necessarily the result, but like what element of this year's Saints team are you the most invested in?
Offensive line, and for good reason. Of course, we got high capital on the offensive line. Four number ones, a high number two, and one of the best centers in the National Football League, and Eric McCoy. And like you guys were saying earlier, the last 2 years. I agree. Speaking about the number one draft picks of the Saints, these kids have hardly been mentioned, but that's a good thing. No news is good news. So really excited to see Calvin Banks Jr. at left tackle. Ty Lisi goes back over to right tackle. And the enigma up front, of course, is Trevor Penning. Can he adapt to playing left guard? And if he is successful as a left guard, I think the Saints have an opportunity to be one of the better offensive lines in the NFC and thus surprise teams, because the Eagles taught us last year, if nothing else, football is still won in the trenches. So offensive line guys would be where I'm most interested in seeing. And who's going to be that swing tackle and that guard? That 6 and 7 offensive lineman is going to be very important too.
Probably 7, 8, and 9 these days, right?
That's true.
Not just, you know what I mean? And the way it's been the last few years for this team, it hasn't been, you know, 6 and 7, but man, 8, 9, 10. There's never enough.
I'm a Landon Young truther. I like Landon Young. Maybe I'm just like a homer, but I enjoy, like, I appreciate what Landon Young has done. The same way I appreciated James Hurst. Like, was not the best tackle in the world, but like the fact that they were like, hey, we need a guard. Can you play guard this week? And like, I got it. Never played guard in my life. I'll go in there for you though. And like, I think he's gonna be, like, they brought him back. I think he's gonna be that dude.
Yeah, I had high expectations for Landon Young, and I kind of was down on him for a while. And because I watched the kid play at Kentucky, I thought he was he's hellable talented. And I just think since he's been a member of the New Orleans Saints, I don't think we have seen the best of Landon Young. And I think maybe 2 years ago when he was seemed like a light was coming on, he gets injured. So, yeah. Landon Young, he could be that James Hurst. He most definitely could.
I mean, it's the elephant in the room, but, you know, when this season opens with Arizona and San Francisco, who's under center?
Well, you put your money on Tyler Shuck, because why? Because he's the chosen one by Kellen Moore. But there's something about this Spencer Rattler kid. Last year, I know he went 0-6. I understand that. I understand he was Jekyll and Hyde first half, second half. But there's something about the way this kid approaches the game, the way he carries himself on the field. He plays like he's a starter. He plays like he knows he's a starter and he belongs. I think it's going to be more of a competition than people think. And we got to realize Spencer does have live game NFL experience. So we're going to have to see how fast can Tyler adapt to the speed of the NFL, the OTAs and mini camp, all that's good. But now we're getting into training camp, and it's going to be like a raceway out there, man. So how fast can he process and just develop into what we think he is? The kid can make every throw. He's highly intelligent, so I'm just looking for a good battle. And, guys, it's simple. Whoever gives us the best opportunity to win, that's who I'm riding with them. Whoever's on the center.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, to me, it's like it's going to be a lot of talk about what we see at camp. But I think at the end of the day, a lot of it's going to come down to what happens behind the scenes and how these guys are picking up the offense. Right. And so right. I think the signals you're going to be looking for are not even necessarily, oh, he completed this pass, he completed this pass. It's going to be, okay, are they getting in and out? Are they running plays again? Are they going back into the huddle? Like, who's running the offense better, especially in year one? Because there's just so many moving parts, right? Like, we have the new offense, new defense, all these new pieces. I just feel like if it gets down to it and Spencer Rattler is running the offense better, you're not going to go with Tyler just because he's the rookie, the guy that you picked this year, the Kellen Moore pick. Like, they're invested in winning football games. They're not invested in struggling through just to make it work with the guy you draft pick.
Right. And if I'm Kellen Moore, I want to win. I want to be successful my first season. I don't want to start my head coaching career off with a losing record.
Well, there's no 5-year plan anymore for head coaches. No. You know what I mean?
Although I do think that Kellen has more security than a lot of coaches might.
Because of his youth?
Well, because of his youth time. And also just because of what's happened for the Saints over the last 4 years.
Right.
Right? Like, if he was coming in right off Sean Payton, it would – I don't even know if the organizational pressure would have been there, but the fan pressure would have been there. Now it's kind of like you could go 7-10 and people would be like, oh, wow, we're on the right track, you know?
I don't know. How about
– Hey, guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
So what I've been thinking about, the average in the NFL, I believe, is 7 to 9 teams improve each season by 4 wins. You had the Chargers last year. You had the Commanders who were 5-12 the previous year. And then last year, of course, they struggled at the quarterback position. But, hey, now they're one of the favorites in the NFC. They make it to the NFC championship game. So, you never know. It doesn't necessarily have to take 3-4 years. It could be this season if everything lines up right, if you have the right people in the building from the head coach on down to the player. So why can't the Saints be this year's Commanders? Why not?
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To me, I agree. I don't have blinders on, but I'm always way more optimistic than I probably should be. When Jeff Duncan asks, you know, every year, what's the record? I'm always 9-8, I don't know, 10-7. You know, I don't know. I do not feel, and you're right about the NFL, because the NFL wants it. They make so that the worst teams play the worst teams and they have a better opportunity.
Here's my take. There's no such thing as an NFL team that can't win 9 games under the right circumstances.
Agree.
Right? Like, it's not that many games.
The Saints could have won. I can put 9 wins on the Saints in a heartbeat last year.
Right. And they did win nine games 2 years ago in a season that everyone looks back on and was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. And they're like, okay, with the benefit of hindsight, like, it wasn't that bad. Like, they won 9 games the year before that with Taysom Hill. Or no, not the year before that. 2 years before that with 4 quarterbacks, including Trevor Siemian, losing 5 starts.
4 kickers.
So, right. So, like, it's all circumstantial. It's all circumstantial. If you get good luck, if you get good injury luck, and you run into teams with bad injury luck, you could be, you know, a bottom 10 team in the NFL. You could run into 9 wins. So the idea that there's just no way the Saints can be competitive this year, I think, is unfair. Now, the odds are against them. There's no denying that. But, you know, what would your schedule or your record prediction be if you had to make one today, Dolph?
Oh, man, you put me on the spot. Yes. I really don't like doing record predictions without seeing the team, but since your family. since your family, I'm going to say, hey, we improved by 5, 10-7. Surprise everybody. 10-7.
That is optimistic.
That is. But, I mean, your home games, you only have 8, but you have one team that's won more than, you know, double digits. I think the position that we haven't talked about at least today, and we talked about the offensive line and the quarterback, but to me, Kendre Miller, Hilaire, Devin Neal, Cam Akers, Alvin Kamara, you get a running game of any semblance. I don't want any pressure on Shuck or Rattler or Deckers or Hayner. I don't care who it is. If you can run the ball, and this team is not, that offensive line and this running back squad room, we don't know what we have in Kendre Miller yet. We just don't, right? I'm looking forward to Devin Neal. You've got to run the ball, and I know that's what Kellen Moore wants.
So And also, guys, when we like you said, Mike, we spoke about offensive line. Let's go to the other side, an area where we have struggled mightily the last several years, and that's stopping the run. And I'm going to start with a young man that needs to take the next step in his career to get to what I think he has the ability to be a superstar player. That's Brian Bresee. Brian Bresee last season had 7.5 sacks. That was third among interior defensive linemen. ESPN just had a ranking when they were ranking all the interior defensive linemen. Brian Bresee did not even get honorable mention. Why? Because his inability to stand up against the run. Simply put, he has to put his big ball pants on. He has to become better at his gap control. He has to become better at stopping the run and become a more complete player. Because if that happens, we already know what he can do as an inside rusher. And 7.5 sacks for an inside interior defensive lineman, that's pretty darn good, guys.
I felt like – I asked Kellen more of this because I – in OTAs, in the minicamp, he looked bigger to me. Like
Brian?
I don't, yeah. Now,
or Kellen.
Brian. Brian. Brian Bresee. He just looked bigger to me.
Let's hold up.
And so I asked Kellen. Kellen goes, I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't you know. It's hard to – again, these guys, it's helmets and shorts, right? So it's hard to tell. But he looked bigger to me. He has done – here's what I'll say about Brian, then I'll be quiet. He can do some things on the field that a lot of guys with that size at that position physically cannot do, right? He'll do something and you'll go, holy cow, right?
Like
and
jump so, over the line to block a field
goal. Jump over the line,
goal.
Block, just spin. He's got a spin move that you don't even see the spin. It's so fast. So, but you're right. But if you, it's the same thing. I try not to be the broken record, but I am. If you can't stop the run, if you can't run the ball, this would be a 5-minute show, right? Because that's everything.
Yes, most definitely. And a surprise cut, guys. I got a surprise cut. If things don't, I think Bink gets cut. I'm calling it. I don't think Bink makes this team. I don't think Bink makes it. Bink did not. Bink was brought here for what? The be stout against the run. He was not successful last season. Matter of fact, they were subbing Bink in a lot for Brian Bresee last season, hoping to get better performance against the run, but it just didn't materialize.
See, I'm gonna
and of course he, go,
gonna,
go ahead, go ahead.
I'm gonna disagree with you on that just because you need a nose
because
that,
of the system. The system
like,
changes.
I think that he's gonna fill a role in this scheme that you need, and that's going to be someone to back up Godchow as a nose. So he's going to have some utility that he might not have had last year. Now, that could be Christian Boyd, too. I think Christian Boyd has some nose in his game. But and then, I mean, come on, let's get him on offense. Like, we don't have a fullback on this roster. You're telling me you can't get in the goal line and get Bink out there? Full Bink action?
Bink has the H-back.
Yeah. He'll do it. He'll do it in a heartbeat. I don't even know if Kellen Moore knows yet just how loud Bink's going to be about, give me the ball. But, yeah, no, there's a, you know, I think there are going to be a few surprise cuts in that, you know, there's just so much turnover from the coaching staff. I think there are a few guys on this roster that we look at and kind of just pencil in and say, like, oh, of course they're going to be here. But that's not necessarily going to be
right.
true,
different
and they might be viewed
coaches.
Differently
right.
by some of these new coaches.
They want their guys. If they're going down, that's the way Dennis Allen was in year two. He's like, check with this.
Yeah.
If I'm going out, I'm going out with my people. And
right.
unfortunately he did. Is there anybody in
good
the draft?
Night.
Anybody?
Oh,
anybody? Last question for me. Anybody in this draft class beyond Kelvin Banks? I know we know what we're – I think we know what we're going to get. Shuck, it's going to be a battle. So in the next, you know – Broughton, Sanker, Stutzman, Riley, Neal, Latavio, and Diggs. Of those guys, is there anybody that you're like? To me, it's Devin Neal, right, for a 6-rounder. But anybody in the back end of the draft class that you're like, man, I want to see this cat on the field.
Riley,
yeah,
Quincy Riley, most definitely, Quincy Riley.
He's going to get an opportunity.
He's going to get an opportunity unless Asante Samuel Jr. walks through the door in the in a couple of days. But, Quincy Riley. And another guy I think that we're overlooking, but every time this young man got an opportunity last season and the season before, Rico Payton. I like Rico Payton. I just think he's a good football player.
Rico.
I
do like me a special teams ace. I do love me a special teams ace, and the Saints always have those. I'll say Jonas Sanker. I think Jonas is going to be a very good player in this league. I'm not sure exactly what he's going to play yet, but I do like Jonas Sanker a lot.
All right. Well, hey, Dolph, appreciate the time. Host of Keeping It Real, Who Dat Sports Podcast, man. We're not too far away. July 23rd, we'll be at it, baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Have a great weekend. You bet, baby. Have a good weekend.
All right, man. Thank you.
Come on in. All right, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Dolph. Founder of the Come On In Sports Network. Back after this, WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to a little short little segment here, and we'll come back and wrap things up with Jeff. I want to congratulate Daniel Oser from Algiers. Daniel won the Generac GP6500 portable generator valued at almost $1,000. Get ready. You could win a portable generator, too, starting next Monday from Craig's Electrical and Generator Service and WWL, Louisiana's official emergency management station. And you hope that you never turn it on. We want to give you something that we hope you never use. Right? Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the way it is. I mean, you use it for whatever
you
want to use
it for. It's like your
backup kicker. Right. That's right. We don't want you to use it. But sometimes you have to. Again, quick segment. We'll come back, put a bow on this thing. Jeff Nowak, Mike Cost, back after this. Stay with us. Welcome back. A few more minutes until 7 o'clock tonight. Mike Cost, Jeff Nowak. And so I want to tell you a story. I played Little League football. I was we called it Husky back then. We didn't – fat was not
really. Oh, yeah.
They called it Husky.
Hefty.
No. Husky. It was Husky.
All right.
So I played football, and I was a big kid, but I moved around. So the coach said, I'm going to put you on offensive line, put you on offensive guard. I said, all right. And so I, not shockingly, did not study any plays. Zero. I just thought I had to block the guy in front of me. I thought that was my job. So the third play is a power run. Guard pulls, leads out there. I, of course, do not do it. Get screamed at.
Or you just stayed in.
I just blocked the guy in front of me. No, I didn't pull. I didn't know the play. There's a book of plays. Come on, I'm like 12, right?
I'm surprised they're asking you to pull at that age.
Yeah. So then they said, all right, we're going. So 2 plays later, he calls the play, the same play. And so I'm the guard. I pull, and I get out there, and it's like a light ball. I thought, this – I just go out there to murder people. I just looking for people, right? And I said, oh, to the guys, you got to call that play. That play is awesome. I love that play. I feel that's going to be Trevor Penning.
Okay.
I do. I feel like he's got the athletic ability to foot maneuver to get in position, because that's really the key, is to get to the position. Anybody can be a monster on the outside. You got to get there. But I think his confidence at tackle was done.
Yeah.
He was shot. I know he played every game last year. I like Trevor, right? But his confidence level during the season was at a place I've not seen.
I felt like he was in a good space, a good mental space for a majority of last season. The year before that, it was shot, and it wasn't even worth going back to him. But like, I think there's a ceiling for him at tackle, and it's pretty low from a pass protection perspective. Like, he could, if you need him in a pinch, it's not the end of the world. You can help him out. He can survive. But I think we saw how good he can be at tackle, and it's not going to be definitely not a Pro Bowl caliber.
No.
It's a survivable caliber. He could probably be a backup. I think he still has a chance at guard to do something. You know, and I'm glad. I'm excited to see him work with Jari. I'm excited to see how he can kind of develop that. You know, I told this story. You know, I've been going back and watching old Saints games from like the 2011 season just to remind myself what elite quarterback play was. And I also it also reminded me of like what elite offensive line play was. And there was one of the best blocks I've seen from a guard. It was Jari Evans. He was pulling. It was a game against the Packers. It was a season opening game, and there was. It was a screen pass. I want to say it was Pierre Thomas. Two Packers defenders were coming up. Jari takes one of them, and he just, like, throws him. Like, doesn't block him. Just throws him, And the guy, that guy falls down, and that and he ends up blocking the other Packers defender, and Pierre Thomas just gets out and runs for like 20 yards. And it's like, that's a Hall of Fame type block. That's what a Hall of Fame guard looks like. Like, in because it, you know, sometimes I have my accident. This was not an accident. Jari saw both guys, was like, and right. He just like threw a roadblock in front of him, and it worked. And like, that's the level that Jari was playing at. And I don't know if Trevor's ever going to play at that type of mental level.
No, Jari's a Hall of Famer.
You can unleash some physicality with Trevor, and I think that's how he wants to play. He's right. Excited. Like, that was the thing that stood out to me in talking to Trevor. In a lot of instances, you'll see, they're changing my position. I'm kind of grumpy about this, whatever. He was like, yeah, I think it's a great idea. You know?
Right.
He was like, they called me up there and talked to me about it. And I was like, man, I think you're making the right call. And it was like, wow, okay, I appreciate that because I agree with you. I think, you know, this could be what saves his career. It could be what, you know, yeah, you look at a Jim Dombrowski. That's the guy Bobby always wants to talk about. Even Andres Pete, you don't even have to go back that far. Andres Pete was a 3-time Pro Bowl guard. They didn't draft him as a guard.
No.
They drafted him as a tackle, but then they happened to have Teron Armstead. So they're like, let's see what happens. And he ended up being a solid, not great, but solid guard. And I think Trevor could be that way too.
I just feel like if he can – the hardest part for Trevor on when he gets to that outside is control yourself.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Stop blocking people on the bench.
Right. We don't need penalties because it's a sense as a guard. It's just this green field and you just pick out guys. And this was 50 years ago for me. I still remember it.
Yeah.
Now I should have studied the playbook and I would, you know, been much better. But anyway, I'm looking forward to the season. I think there's so much change with this football team. Nobody knows. Here's what I want. And I talked to Deuce about this. I want a game that matters. I want a series. I want something on the line. We've had games that, well, if we win today and the other 15 teams lose or this win, this happens. I want a game that where the crowd's into it, a game that matters, man. It's such a difference.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the last 2 years being on the sideline, it's not been a particularly exciting experience. That 9-8 season is the high watermark.
Yeah.
And then it was immediately ruined. Like, even that excitement of blowing out the Falcons was immediately ruined by DA apologizing to him afterward.
Right.
Like, we can't have nice things, you know? So
that was a weird one.
That was such a weird
thing.
How can you blow out the Falcons by 30 points and have the conversation be negative and about something else? Like, that's wild to me that happened, but it did. It did. That's team in a nutshell.
Well, that'll do it for us. Thanks to Jeff, as always, and to Cullen Steele in the booth helping things out. Have a great weekend, everyone. It's going to be hot, going to be some showers out there, but football is coming. The Chargers report to camp. That's awesome. Love to hear it. And we'll, of course, have all of your camp coverage. And Jeff and I will be with you a little bit next week as well as we get you ready for football season and the Pelicans as well. Have a great weekend.
Who dat?
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.